peace to you from God our Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The Word of God upon which the sermon is based is the epistle lesson, and especially the 20th verse. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the seeker of this present age? One of the less exciting experiences that you will have in the parish ministry is to be stretched out on Monday evening watching a football game when a telephone rings. And your wife very dutifully will answer that telephone, and then she'll say, "It's for you." Now, the caller on the other end may have one of a million things in mind, but more often than not, that caller is going to want some information from you, the pastor. "Well, pastor, I was just looking at the calendar. When is our next council meeting going to be scheduled?" "Well, pastor, I was talking to somebody and they wondered, why don't you Lutherans have open communion? And I was wondering about that myself. Could you tell me why?" Or, "Pastor, I've got a problem, such and such. Tell me what to do." I'm reminded of two summers ago. Some of you remember it was terribly hot. And I got a phone call at the parsonage, and it seems that some of my members were down the street at our tavern, and they were discussing how hot it really is. And they were doing this over some soda or something. And the discussion itself got so hot that they decided to call the pastor up because they were wondering, what is the German word for air conditioner? That's a true story. But so it is going to go when you are in a congregation. Now, for you to be a pastor means that you are not first and foremost the dispenser of intellectual information. Nevertheless, being a good pastor, a good shepherd, a good seelsorger, means that you every day will be dispensing important intellectual information. And that brings us right to the text for this sermon. St. Paul asks, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this present age? I, for one, hope that he is in the church. I don't know about you, but when I hear this text read, and when I listen to it uncritically and naively, I think that because the glorious gospel of grace in Jesus Christ has burst into the world, intellectual activity has gone out the window. But I say that's naive, that's uncritical, and that is certainly not biblical. Where is the wise man? Well, if anybody asks that question, St. Paul is the one to do it, because he was one of the great intellects of all time, and he was in the church. And so also for you men as pastors, I hope that you will be intellects in the church. Holy Scripture says that you men should hold to the sound form of doctrine that you have received. That is an intellectual activity. Scripture further says that you as a pastor in the congregation should be able to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That is an intellectual activity. Where is the wise man? I certainly hope that he is in the church. And if he is to be in the church, then he should also be in the seminary. And this seminary, serving the church, should be a hub of intellectual activity. Therefore, we have such things here as Hebrew vocabulary cards and systematic tests and extensive readings in history, and so on, and so on. But for you, an intellect, to be in the church and be into the seminary, for you to be occupied with books and lectures and the like, is not enough. And that is where St. Paul's condemnation of intellectual activity comes in. In the 19th verse, he quotes the prophet Isaiah, where God says, "I shall destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I shall set aside the understanding of the intelligent men." Intellectual activity by itself, and that also includes cold and calculating abstract study of theology, does not bring you into close communion with your God. If that were the case, we could shut this seminary down, save some money, and send all of you to WashU or UMSL or some such place to be trained in intellectual matters. Intellectual activity doesn't do it. The only thing that brings you and me into close communion with God is the cross of Jesus Christ. For it is under His cross alone that you and I are reconciled to our God. It is under His cross alone that the true wise man is to be found. Under the cross of Jesus Christ alone are the great intellects of the church to stand. In fact, that is the only place an intellect of the church is to stand. Under the cross of Jesus Christ, under that body that hung there, under that inglorious body, all the sweat and the grime, under that body from which flows the blood that covers over all your sins. That is the only place where the scholar of the church is to be found. And if you wise men, you scholars of the seminary, are not under the cross of your blessed Lord Jesus, then you are necessarily off tracing some primrose path of pretended glory. In our New Testament history, we find one young man, maybe he was older, who was really into the idea of serving in the church. He thought church service would be a glorious occupation. You know him, his name was St. Peter. And so he followed the Lord and learned all he could as a disciple until one fateful day when Jesus predicted that the Son of Man was going to have to suffer on the cross and be killed. And the young theologian of glory said, "God forbid, that'll never happen to you, Lord." Jesus turned on Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not on the side of God, but of men." It was a hard lesson for Peter to learn. But Peter, we find out in the New Testament, learned that lesson, and he began to stand under the cross and not to tread that primrose path of glory. When Peter and his cohorts had learned the lesson that the Messiah was one who was on the cross and suffering, they spread that wonderful word. And they spread the message of the cross from Judea to Samaria to Galilee and finally to Rome. And that mission message encountered another young theologian who was really into the idea of serving in the church, who enjoyed cold, abstract study of theology, a man by the name of St. Paul. And St. Paul was scandalized by the very idea that theology means that the intellect of the church stand under the cross of suffering and not bask in the Son of Glory. And so St. Paul treaded the primrose path one day up to Damascus, where he was going to set the Christians straight. But you know how that story all turned out. And from that day hence, St. Paul joined the intellect of the church, standing under the cross, and not on the path of glory. Years later, St. Paul asked, "Where is the wise man?" And I hope he's in the church. I hope he's in the seminary. I hope he's in a chapel right now. I hope he's sitting in your seat. But if so, then let that intellect sitting in your seat be standing under the blessed cross of suffering of your Savior Jesus Christ. If you do not stand under the cross of suffering, then you are off on the primrose path of glory. It is a cross of suffering. Now, suffering is not something that is listed in a course catalog, and the registrar has not yet scheduled a course in suffering that you can sign up for. And see, you don't go and seek suffering. God lets suffering come into your life. He's going to take care of that Himself, and you will experience that fully in the parish ministry. But right now, already, you all carry some cross of suffering, even as you stand under the cross of Jesus, which alone saves you. And one cross of suffering that all of us carry is intellectual activity. Hebrew vocab cards, systematics tests, and so on and so forth. For that is a daily cross of suffering which is training your mind to be the wise man, the scholar, the debater who is able to hold his own against the wisdom of this present age. Now, there are times, I'm sure almost every day, when you feel the burden of training your mind is too oppressive. Wouldn't it be easier to go someplace else? Wouldn't it be much more preferable then, or some other occupation where you could make more money and work less? Wouldn't it be much easier to tread that primrose path of glory rather than to stand under the cross of suffering of Jesus Christ and by bearing your suffering to give witness to Him? Next time that cross of intellectual activity gets too heavy for you, stop feeling sorry for yourself and look up to His cross. Look up to Him who died in your place. Look to Him who suffered more than you can ever imagine. Look to Him who from His cross poured down strength through His Spirit to enable you to bear the minor crosses of your daily life. And when you do that under the burden of your academic studies, you may rest assured that it will transform you. And looking up to that cross, you'll whisper a silent prayer, "Take my intellect, Lord, and use every power as Thou shalt choose." When I began the sermon, I mentioned the phone call, you know, coming to my wife. And what I did not say at that time was that usually my wife would answer, and the people would say, "I have some question I need some information on. Is the pastor home? Where is the wise man?" And she would say, "No, he's not home. He's either at a meeting, or he's at the church, or he's at the hospital," and so on. With due apologies to you who are single, I feel that I must say a word to the married brethren. You are not the only ones who stand under the cross. And with your books and all your intellectual activity, you're not there alone. Your dear wife also stands under that cross with you. For your wife, just like you, taken all her sins and her burdens and her problems and worries and laid them at the foot of the Savior's cross. And just like you, she has received that wonderful absolution that comes only from the suffering of the cross. Her sins are covered over just as are yours by that same blood. Your wife is a joint heir of that grace of life right along with you. Now, since she stands under the cross with you, she also carries the crosses of her daily life. And one of those crosses of daily life that she carries is being married to you. You may think that intellectual activity, attending lectures, reading books, and all that goes on in the seminary is a cross that you bear. And I guess it is. But I dare say that most wives, and no doubt your wife, carries a heavier daily cross by being married to someone who is forever occupied with lectures and books and the study of theology. Now, I trust that your wife understands that this is a daily cross which she is to carry. The future pastor must train his mind. But I would appeal to you, brethren, to remember that your wife carries a cross. And that cross is not only that you might be gone during the workday, but that many times you find excuse to be gone studying theology in the evening. And I dare say that you are contributing to a cross that might be too heavy for her to bear. For she stands under the cross of suffering with you. She needs your support. It's one thing to be gone during the day studying theology. But examine yourself when you're tempted to take off in the evening and do the same. And examine yourself when you stay home. If you're at home means sitting in a corner with a nose in your book, not sharing your life with your wife. The two of you stand under the cross together. She needs your support, for she is an important part of your life. Where is the wise man? Hope he's in the church. Hope he's in the chapel. And I hope he's sitting in your seat. But where will the wise man one day be? I hope no longer under the cross, but under the crown. I hope in heaven, not with books and lectures and the study of theology, but with the Savior, and with wife and family. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your heart.